There once was a woman who lived in a shoe. A size too snug, but what could she do? But that's not where her story ends. Thanks to a little help from her Experian friends, she got her score into much better shape and relocated to a box-fresh new place with room to grow and a mortgage to suit. Now, she lives in a spacious four-bedroom cowboy boot. Better your Experian credit score to help get mortgage ready. Experian. Better your score. Better your story.
So if your child is struggling emotionally or your family feels tense, reactive, or disconnected, this conversation is for you because resilience isn't built through pressure or perfection. It's built inside the way we relate to each other every single day. And today we're breaking down what exact actually creates resilient children, how family dynamics shape emotional health, and what parents can do differently starting right in this moment. Dr. Gloria Vanderhorst is here, and she's a psychologist with nearly 50 years of experience helping individuals, couples, and families understand emotional patterns and building stronger, healthier relationships. Gloria, it's so good to have you back. Thanks so much for being here.
Stacey, I love conversations with you, so I'm looking forward to jumping into this one.
Me too. This is going to be such a powerful conversation, especially in this trying time right now. I feel like so many families are feeling stressed and disconnected and reactive. Why do you think that is?
Oh, it is truth, right? The world around us is full of stress. You cannot turn on a radio or a television without some information about conflict and about danger, and about dramatic changes within the United States as well as in the world, right? Just think of the gasoline prices recently. You would think, okay, that's a small thing happening, but at the same time, it is impacting every worker in the United States. We use our cars to get to work. We typically do not use public transportation. We could use more public transportation, but we use our cars. And it's possible there are people out there that really cannot afford that increase in gas prices. So it can come in small amounts, like, you know, the gas station raises gas prices. It can come in larger concerns. There are so many people who have their television on all the time or their radio on all the time. They're tuned to a news channel. So they're just getting totally immersed in all of the conflict, the negativity, the problems in the world, and they don't have solutions. It isn't someone talking about a conflict and then describing how will this be resolved. It's, you know, this will be never ending and it's really dangerous and it could be explosive. Well, you get that kind of information on a repeat basis day after day. It is like being assaulted. You're being assaulted with information, and it affects your mood. I tell so many people that I work with, you know, turn that television off, shut the radio off, or find music that you enjoy. Go watch cartoons, anything that can break up that stress level. You have enough stress in your life just functioning day to day. So anything you can do to break up that stress level is going to be helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that people don't even realize that by surrounding themselves with that information, that it's causing a low level stress that keeps vibrating through the body. And when you have that low level stress, you're going to bring that home to your family. And it's going to be translated in different ways. And so, I don't know. I know for me, sometimes I don't even know why I'm reacting to something. But it's like all of that stuff. It's a very stressful time to be alive in the world right now with like you said, gas prices, the cost of food, the cost of living, and everyone is literally trying to get by, and afford to live. And then you add in your family and relationships and makes it really challenging. So
It's very
when
challenging.
our children struggle emotionally or behaviorally, what do you think that's signaling about the family system?
Well, it is telling us that the family system is not providing the support that our children need. And that's been happening for decades at this point. One of the recent stats is that adults, young adults, 20s, 30s, are either not dating at all, they're not interested in building relationship, or if they build a relationship, they don't officially get married. So both of those are telling us that a whole generation or two of people are distancing themselves from interaction. Now that's critical. We're born connected to another human being. We thrive in connection. We seek connection with others, and our bodies are healthier if we are connected to others. And so this isn't just an emotional difference, it's also a physical difference. All right, there's a building physical crisis because we're not in relationship with others. Our bodies do respond to that. Our bodies don't like to be isolated, right? We're not built to be individuals that don't have connection. We're built to have connection. And so as the generations continue to distance and isolate themselves, there's a complete breakdown that takes place within the family, within the neighborhood, within the culture. It just begins to build and build. Starts out like a wave, ends up being a tsunami.
So those connections are so important. I have noticed that. I have noticed that a lot of people are choosing to be on their own and isolating themselves. And I know for myself, if I'm, I live alone, and if I'm in my apartment too long by myself, I start to feel that. I feel that disconnect from the world. Loneliness,
It
depression
has a
symptoms.
physical impact.
Yeah,
And just
absolutely.
your body itself begins to hold that tension. So think about it, right? You have just a little bit of tension, right? You've been by yourself for 3, 4 days. Now it's stretching to 5, 6, 7 days. Your muscles hold some tension because of that, right? Your brain holds tension because of that. You start to maybe worry a little bit, right? Like my best friend hasn't checked on me, right? Or a family member hasn't called me, and then I feel alone and I feel isolated, and then I start to worry. All of that is expressed in your body. It isn't just a thought you're having. It's impacting your muscles and your physical systems. They're reacting to this stress. It's real stress that you're bringing into your body, and your health is at risk.
I feel like when I talk to a lot of families and parents, they often feel like they're either too hard on their children or too soft on their children. But I often don't hear them say, it's a perfect balance. Why do you think so many parents are having a hard time finding that balance?
I think one of the things that's happening with families today, I see it all the time, even driving down the street, right? We pass a little park in our neighborhood. And on Saturdays and Sundays, that little park is filled with 3 and 4 year olds learning to play soccer. So what is happening is that we engage our children in activities, multiple activities. The majority of families that I talk with today are busy in their cars, all right? They're taking children to different activities. They hardly get to see each other except when they're in the car. Nobody is having dinners together. That used to be a tradition. All together for dinner every night of the week. They're picking up takeout, they're eating in the cars. The context of safety, if you think about it, our family is supposed to be the initial experience of safety. But if I'm 4 years old, all right, and you're trucking me around to different group activities, I don't have an opportunity for that quiet time, for that connection with my parents, for even some alone time to be bored. There's a value in being bored, believe it or not. You don't have to fill every minute of the child's life with activity or interaction. Self-reflection takes place even for little kids. So there's a value in being bored and not having an activity. But we're isolating ourselves with all of the engagement. And it's become very important to parents to have their children engaged in activities. And they're missing out on the value of some downtime and definitely on the value of just emotional connection. Being in the same room, being able to put your arm around your kid and chat, being able to play a game with them. That's the other thing that I've noticed, is that families are not engaging with each other, either having dinner, playing games, spending time with each other. And that's isolating for your children. It'll have a long-term consequence. They will need to be busy. And if I'm busy, I'm really not engaged with another person, right? I'm spending time entertaining myself or working myself, and we need connection. We don't survive without connection. If we're isolated, we get sick. We need connection to be healthy.
Absolutely. I saw something alarming this weekend. I was helping out at a show, a wellness show, and I saw a parent walk in with two children, and both children were under the age of five, and they both had a device in their hand, and they were both playing games. And so the children were walking around immersed in their cell phone. One of them was three, and the other one was like probably just a couple of years older. Like, I swear it was under five.
Right.
And both children were immersed on these cell phones playing these games. They didn't take their eyes off those screens.
Right. Their eyes are right there.
It was just completely alarming. And I was so, I wondered to myself, how are those children going to be 5 years from now? Like, they literally were just in those screens, and the parent was kind of carting them around, and just, it was alarming. It was incredibly alarming.
It is very alarming to see young children attached to a device because it limits their capability of interacting with other people. They interact with the device, they're safe with the device, and then they don't take the risk of interacting with others, right? I see families where they have 10, 11, 12-year-olds who are so addicted to their devices that they could be on those devices 10, 12 hours a day. It's incredible, and it's so isolating. And it leads to anxiety and depression for these children. You know, you just want to scream at someone with a 3 or 4 year old with a device in their hand Those kids should be looking around. They should be curious. They should be bugging their parent about what's
Yeah.
that and why are we here and what are we doing? There should be tons of interaction, and all of that gets abandoned, right? It gets missed when you put a device in the hands of a child, regardless of their age.
Absolutely. What about the relationship between parents or caregivers? How does that directly impact a child's emotional stability and resilience?
Well, I think you're asking about kind of modeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the child experiencing between mother and father and friend, mother and friend? What do they get to observe about relationship? And in the current families, all right, mother and father literally are in their cars taking their children to different things. They're not interacting with each other. They're lucky if they get 10 minutes at bedtime or 10 minutes in the morning before they go off to work, and they spend that time just coordinating schedules. Right? So I see lots of couples, they are not able to find time to talk to each other. They're either busy taking a child, picking up a child, or they're at work themselves. So there really is little to no time for the parents to connect and interact with each other. But it's healthy to do that. So I will give them the assignment of start out with 15 minutes, all right? You have to find 15 minutes in the course of your day. Maybe you get up 15 minutes earlier. Maybe it's in the evening after the kids have gone to bed, but you have to find 15 minutes that you are just going to interact with each other. You're not going to schedule, you're not going to problem solve, right? You're going to be interested in what is that person thinking and feeling? What have they observed in the course of their day? What have they reflected on in the course of their day? It's real simple, right? It is, I want to know you, right? I want to know who you are. We need to be known. And today, that is missing from a vast number of couples. They do not know each other. They're coordinated with each other, they can plan, but they do not know each other. They don't know what's going on inside of that other person.
Yeah, that's really sad. I feel like, yeah, with our busy world these days, I often see parents in relationships and they just look so disconnected. You can feel that. And if I can feel that, then the children are feeling that like 10 times that amount. So then, Dr. Gloria, what do children actually need to feel safe and supported in a family beyond just that being taken care of?
Yeah, they need attention. And that's something that they're not getting today. They need someone to be interested in them and who they are and what they're thinking and feeling and what's happening in their lives. That's the other thing that's really missing. We're so busy with our children that we don't know what is happening in their lives. Right? We don't know that they are uncomfortable in this particular classroom because somebody keeps bothering them. Right? Or we don't know that they're feeling like it's too much of a struggle to address this particular subject and they're falling behind. We don't have day-to-day information about what a child is experiencing. All right, parents used to put their children to bed at night and spend time with them, even if that's 15, 20 minutes. I was talking with an older person recently, right, who reported this childhood experience. Her parents were so busy, so occupied with themselves and their activities that when mother put her to bed, mother spent a few minutes, right, and then left the room, and this little girl would throw herself out of bed and pretend that she had fallen out of bed, right,
Wow.
just to get mother to come back in the room and invest some time. So I love the story because children are brilliant, right? Children know exactly what they need, and they can be very creative in getting those needs met. And I thought that's a very creative way to get mother's attention because you know, if you ask for it, mother's not going to give it to you, right? So you
Right.
have to create a situation that requires her attention. So it was a brilliant solution, but it's tragic that a child would have to generate a solution to get time with a parent. That's tragic.
Yeah, our animals do that, and we joke about that. Oh, the cat wants attention. It just knocked
That's
that
right.
fishbowl off the counter, right? So,
That's right.
why wouldn't children do the same thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you talk about understanding our own history. And so why is self-awareness such a critical part of raising, resilient children or children that are happy?
Because our own histories have cut off parts of our emotional capability. All right, so we come into the world with this marvelous emotional intelligence. Infants are brilliant emotionally. They read the room, they understand all of the interaction that's happening around them because they're seeking safety and connection. Their survival is dependent on connection and safe connections. So
Right.
they know everything that's happening emotionally in the family that they're in. It is so critical for us to
That's
appreciate how well our children are actually reading the emotional dynamics. They know when mother and father are enjoying each other and loving each other and happy to spend time with each other, all right? That calms the child's nervous system, right? I want to be in that environment where the emotional tone is loving and accepting and fun. But if mom and dad are on parallel tracks, right, invested in making sure they get their kids all the right places and they're functioning separately, that's uncomfortable for a child because the child's dependent on both of those people. We are dependent creatures, and there's no getting around that, right? We need connection with other people. So if you're not spending time with your child or providing that emotional safety for your child, they will develop problems. Some of those problems will be school issues. Some of those problems will be relationship issues, either with siblings or friends or neighbors. And some of those will be academic problems. I mean, they'll find ways, right, to present themselves to their parents and to say, I need attention. I need your focus. They're brilliant, right? They want emotional connection. And they'll do that, as my mother said, they'll do that until the cows come home, right? So we have to be able to appreciate how smart emotionally our children are. They see things, they know things, they sense the tension in the environment. You cannot hide anything from them. So you're better off being transparent, than trying to hide things. because then you can provide the comfort that the child needs. But if you're in the process of trying to hide, I want to tell you that you can't do it. Children are brilliant. They have a better sense of emotional intelligence than adults do. They read the room quite easily. They read all the dynamics in the family, and so you're better off actually appreciating that and deciding to engage your children rather than to distance yourself. Now, I'm not talking about engaging them to help fix things, right? They're not your confidant, right? You don't take your marital problems to your 12-year-old and
No.
expect them to provide comfort for you. But you do recognize with your 12-year-old that there's tension in the house, right? And that the grown-ups will be taking care of that tension. And the child doesn't need to problem solve or present himself or herself in a way that tries to create a focus so the tension can be dissipated. The adults are responsible for managing that tension.
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel like in any case, when someone is reactive compared to understanding, there's such a major difference there. So when you shift from being reactive to looking for more of a depth and understanding, there's that emotional connection and safety in that.
Right.
When I am seen and heard, I feel so good. I feel so grounded
Right.
and understood. But I do know that with stress and like the way the world is right now, that often we're all running around this world with stress. And then when our children react with these big emotions, do you have any tips on how we might handle that without shutting them down or becoming overwhelmed? Because that can be really difficult to do.
It is difficult to do, right? We want our children to be content. We want our children to be happy. We want our children laughing, not crying. But they have stressors in their lives, just like we have stressors in our lives, right? They have friendships that break up or insult them or create distance for them, even if it's just for a brief period of time. And so they are entitled to be emotional and to be intensely emotional. So, A, you need to respect that. Too often we shut our children down. Stop crying, right? That's our message. It's no big deal. All right, buck up. Particularly, we say that to boys. We really don't want boys crying. We'll let girls cry, but not boys. But you need to use restraint. Tears are healthy. The reason I cry is that something is creating real discomfort and distress. Tears are a normal, natural release of that stress. It's very important to let them come out and not have a child swallow them, which reminds me of a preschooler that I worked with, who was in a, his parents were divorced, and he was 3 or 4 when I started working with him. And he educated me about this emotional truth. He never cried, and his parents would report that he never cried. And so one day I had to ask him, right? Why don't you ever cry? And he explained, right, that he does have tears, but he doesn't let them come out. Instead, he swallows them, all right, and they go into his tummy. They turn into rocks, and then they come right back out, and he throws these rocks around the room. I mean, it was like a perfect description of
Right.
what happens when you stuff your feelings right? They're going to come out in terms of irritation, anger, acting out, getting yourself in trouble. So I want, as a parent, to engage my child in that early stage of discomfort. I want to accept crying as normal, natural, and healthy. Do not tell your child to stop crying. Never do that. Right? Tell your child, I'm here. Cry as much as you want, and then we'll talk about it. Right? And if the child gets that permission, they will start to share. They will let you know what's the stressor that they're carrying, what's the problem that they can't solve and is causing distress for them. All right? Then you can make a connection with your child. You can empathize with your child, you can encourage your child. You can help your child problem solve, and you can just be there, all right? So that your child knows that they're not alone, they don't have to face these stressors on their own, that they will always be connected to another human being. And that is so valuable. It just, calms your whole system to know that you're accepted and connected to another person.
It's so interesting how our society gets so uncomfortable with emotion. It's like bodily fluids, bodily functions, and emotion make people super uncomfortable and reactive. Yet it's their natural, normal ways for humans to be. And I just find that so interesting. Dr. Gloria, for families who might feel stuck in these patterns of conflict or disconnection, what kind of advice would you give them to start repairing? Like, where do they begin to repair their family units?
Yeah, get help of some kind. Now, that doesn't mean immediately going to find a therapist or going to your minister or priest, right? It means first figure out what you're willing to do to look at yourself, right? There are tons of ways to do self-reflection, right? You might decide, all right, I'm just going to spend a half an hour. I'm going to put my headphones on, listen to waterfalls, right? And just let myself sink into me and watch what comes up, right? So you put yourself into, it's not a real trance, but into a comfortable space where anything that is troubling your body, your mind, is open, free, accepted. You have to take time to give your body and your brain to give you the information about what's going on with you, right? What do they say when a ship is sinking? Put your life jacket on first when a plane is crashing, right? Put your mask on first and then service your child. The same thing is true emotionally. All right? Get yourself centered first, and then you can go and interact and assist your child. But you need to get your own system regulated. So you can do that in a variety of ways. And then educate yourself, right? There are tons of books out there on parenting different kinds of children, on just your own emotional growth. I've written a couple by one of mine and use it. There are all kinds of resources that you can access yourself. So take advantage of those resources, all right? And then go talk to someone. Right? We're born to talk. We talk all the time, except when we're asleep. We're engaged with other people. And so then find someone who's safe and talk to them. Share with someone else, if that's your spouse, if that's a relative, if that's a neighbor, if that's a friend, your brain benefits and starts to problem solve when you're sharing with someone else. So it may not immediately pop out ideas or solutions, but you've had a conversation with your spouse or with a close friend. You feel some relief, and then you go to do something else, and lo and behold, about 45 minutes later, something occurs to you, right? The solution, the next step to that problem that you've been wrestling with suddenly comes into your mind, right? Because your brain is brilliant. Your brain holds everything. It wants to help you, right? It is not going to jump into the present unless you invite it. So you invite it by sharing with other people and giving it pieces of information that it can now process and rearrange and give back to you ideas and solutions, and a path forward. That's how we problem solve. So, first, take care of yourself, engage communication with other people, reach out for books, and then, find a good therapist. That's always great support. Find someone who is very well trained in understanding families and understanding relationships, and do your due diligence, right? Don't take the first therapist that comes along. Do some interviewing until you really do find someone who comes across as competent in understanding families and understanding the dynamics with individuals. Get help.
Great advice. I love that. Last thing I want to ask you is for someone out there who's listening and maybe feels guilty or like they've made a mistake or they feel like until this point, like they've really recognized that they're not proud of the way they've been handling things. What would you want them to remember or think about?
I would want them to know that they're human. Everyone's done that. Everyone has done that. And so, first, let yourself grieve. It's all right to cry. When I recognize that I have done something that is injurious to another person, to someone that I care about, to someone that I love, it should bring up tears. It's all right to cry, right? So first, give yourself permission to accept that you have injured someone. We tend to jump to defend ourselves, right? Even when nobody else is available, all right? We're going to jump to defend ourselves and explain to ourselves, right? Why did I say that thing? Why did I do that thing? Why did I ignore that child? We're going to give ourselves reasons. Cut it out. Stop. Right? Recognize that it's human to want to defend and protect yourself, but then take responsibility. All right? It should create sadness when you have injured another person, whether you intended that injury or not. If you have caused emotional harm to another person, grieve that. That's human. That's normal. That's natural. And then you'll have the energy to repair that, to take the risk of going back to that person you've injured, no matter what their age is, whether they're 3 or 93, to go back and offer repair to that person. There is such a weight that is lifted, and such a beautiful connection that can take place when you offer repair and the other person is able to receive it.
Thank you so much for this really powerful conversation. I know it's going to help a lot of families and people out there. I love how you normalized a lot of these things and how you emphasize that we're all just human beings, you know, trying to, we're doing the best we can. And deep down, we just really want connection. And sometimes I feel like people, they don't know quite what they're missing, but it is, it's always so much better when you connect with someone and you relate to someone and you feel emotionally safe. Is there any last minute thoughts that you have or anything you think we missed today that you'd like to add?
No, I would just encourage people to take themselves seriously. All right, do the work, reach for help, and you will discover that we can always grow. No matter how old you are, there's still opportunity for growth. And our brain holds on to every experience that we have ever had. It's a wealth of information, so tap into it. Use it.
Yes, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Vanderhorst. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in and for listening. So this conversation really reframes parenting, not as a controlling behavior, but as building connection and an emotional strength. So we will have Dr. Vanderhorst's information and her work and resources in the show notes for you to have easy access to more of her stuff. And stay tuned for the next episode. We're going to be diving deeper on these topics. And always remember that you are a human being doing the best you can. Try to give yourself a break. We all need less stress in our lives. I really, truly believe that's where it all begins. Again, thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. Until next time.